Okay, well, this morning we're going to talk about looking back and looking forward. It's funny, you know, each year when there's a new year, pastors or prophet types type to try to come up with something, you know, about the new year and catchy and spiffy. And I remember hearing so many guys at the beginning of 2020 says, "This is a year of 2020 vision. We're going to see everything really clearly." And all of a sudden March hits. It's like, who saw that? So we didn't have a whole lot of 2020 vision going on. It's kind of humorous to think about. But though 2020 is behind us, the challenges from the pandemic are still very much a part of our lives. So how do we go into 2021 with a sense of hope, expectation, and a vision for our future? I believe that we must begin with what we've experienced, but also what we've learned over the past year. You may recall a couple of common themes that I've presented throughout 2020 that I shared with you about how to navigate a season of the unknown. And the first one I said right out of the chute is that this is an opportunity for a reset, a time for us to reset some things in our lives. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says this. He says, "Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent. Change the way you think. Turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief." So Jesus is telling the church that we've got to reset and rethink about how we're going. And 2020 was a time to reset, a time to recalibrate, a time where priorities, values, use of time could all be re-examined and adjusted toward those things which hold the greatest value and import in our lives. Kind of like restarting your computer after the antivirus has kicked in. It allows the bugs to be eradicated, the cache to be cleared, so that the restart allows the machine to function at its peak performance by closing up the applications that were no longer needed or necessary. We were given an opportunity to close down anything that was not serving us well and focus on what really mattered. I don't know about you, but I didn't master this as well as I'd hoped. I was quite disappointed that I wasn't more disciplined to make some of the changes that I had wanted to make in my life. And as I began to think about it, I wondered, as I was talking to the Lord about it, I wondered if part of it was that I didn't invite the Holy Spirit to help me through these things. It was more just like, okay, this is a time, you know, I move into type A, I'm going to change this, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to quit doing this, instead of, you know, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit's empowerment to help me make some changes in my life that I want. It's kind of futile without the strength of God to change certain patterns and schedules and habits on my own. I realize that as I've seen pictures of myself and as I'm currently wearing my fat pants, that some, or I guess I should say my fatter pants, that things have changed over the last year, not in the way they wanted to. It's like, yeah, I'm going to exercise more. I ate more. That's what I did. And so I look at this and I go, yeah, everybody did, but everybody's not standing on a platform where everybody's looking at him every week. Yep, I think he's put on two more this week. I think definitely. So this past year was a time to reset some things. And I believe also that you heard me say over and over that 2020 was a time of clarity, even in the midst of ambiguity. There were so many things out of sort and we weren't sure of, and what's next, and what's open, what's closed, can we go out, can we not? Are we going to have Christmas, are we not, or what are we going to do? So much ambiguity, but in the midst of that, I think God gave us opportunity for some clarity. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the prophet says this, "This is what the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, nope, that's not the road we want. Jeremiah says, listen, stop and look where you are. Assess where you really are. And look around and say, is this the path I really want to be on? Am I where I want to be? It's kind of like when you go to a mall and you see a "you are here" sign. Or if you're walking on a trail you've never been on before and you find a trail marker that tells you where you are and how far you are from the next point. Sometimes when you're on those trails and you get to a certain point, you think, wow, I thought I was further down the trail than I really am. I thought I had made it further than I actually have. So this time has been a time to reveal what I think is really in us. What we're made of and in what or in who we ultimately put our trust and our hope. For some of us, we haven't made it down the trail quite as far as we'd previously believed. The loss of control in our lives, it's triggered things in surprising ways. We've experienced fear that we thought was behind us. Have any of you had things happen that have caused you fear that you were surprised at over the last 8 or 9 months? Any of you? I had a few more people in the first service that were willing to admit it. We had things that happen. It's like, man, I didn't think I'd be afraid like I am. Then the loss of control has caused many of us to see anger in us that we thought we had overcome. Any of you have anger things, things of anger come out that you're like, ooh, I didn't know I was there. You see this anger and it happens. And you're like, what? I thought I was past that. Doubt that puzzles us, pettiness, aggression, irritability, and at times maybe hopelessness and depression. Some of you are like, do you have a camera in my house? What's up with all this? It's easy when things are going very smoothly to think we are at a certain place emotionally, spiritually, and then when we lose control, suddenly it's like a spotlight shines on us and says, nope, this is where you really are. And it can be kind of distressing because we think we're further along than we actually are. And we look at that and we say, man, I'm really disappointed in myself. I'm really frustrated. Well, neither denial of the feelings and the behaviors nor despair over the lack of spiritual maturity to overcome them serve us very well. What we need to do is go back to the first theme of reset and recalibrate. What's needed is to acknowledge the pain and the loss, and then find Jesus to be our very present help, our shepherd in the valley of the shadow of death. Has God left you on your own? Has He not shown Himself faithful? Will He remain with you throughout whatever trial or difficulty you face or not? I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to kind of wallow in guilt sometimes. And last year, I was meeting with a counselor and I was talking to him about some guilt things I was dealing with. He said, Brandon, he said, I think the best way to look at guilt is it's kind of like toilet paper. I was like, okay. He says, it serves a great purpose, but when you're through with it, you don't keep it. Now, I have never forgotten that illustration, and never will you. So what are the things that have happened, the guilt or, you know, the sense of looking at this and say, you know, you thought you were here, but you're actually here. You look at it and you go, man, I feel so guilty that I didn't do this, that I didn't apply these principles, that I allow the guilt to do a work in you, then get rid of it. Flush it down the toilet and move forward. So 2020 was also a time that we talked about learning to trust our shepherd. We spent a number of weeks in Psalm 23, and I'm just going to mention verses 1 and 4. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. We spent months looking at Jesus at the beginning of the year and even the end of 2019, looking at Jesus as our teacher. The Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus began to instruct us in how to live a life that was worth living, a life of fullness, a life of joy, a new understanding of what it means to be a lover and a follower of God. Jesus was like the new Moses, coming down from the mountain and looking at the people and seeing them as sheep who were scattered without a shepherd, harassed and oppressed, coming down to liberate us from our bondage. He taught us how to deal rightly with God and how to deal rightly with one another. He taught us how to pray and how to understand that God was offering us an opportunity to live a totally new life in His kingdom, in His presence. One where we could find delight, the supreme value and joy of our lives. He taught us that there is a righteousness, a way of right living that's different from the scribes and the Pharisees of the New Testament, that they had their checkbox religion. They checked off all the boxes, did everything just right, but their hearts were full of greed and anger and hatred and lust. He taught us that there was a new way to relate to God, a law of the heart. We also spent several weeks looking at what it means to have God Almighty as our shepherd. How He watches, how He cares, how He provides for us in ways we don't fully recognize. With the kind help of a dear sister in the church who's assisting me in this, I'm currently trying to put these messages into book form on Psalm 23. So, 2021, we look back at what God was trying to work in us through this, and 2021 is a look toward wholeness, toward freedom, and toward restoration. We're going to spend the first quarter of the year in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. This is after Jesus comes down from the Sermon on the Mount and He begins to minister to people. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Jesus goes to the synagogue, He pulls out one of the scrolls to read it, and He picks it up in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, that was written about 800 years before this. And Jesus comes to the point in Isaiah that it says right here, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Then it says Jesus put down the scroll and He said, "This scripture has been fulfilled today in your hearing." In other words, what they've been waiting for 800 years is here right now in the room. And so this is Jesus' mission statement. Jesus is saying, this is what I'm here, this is what I'm going to do. And then in Matthew chapter 8, He begins demonstrating those things. He begins stepping out and demonstrating those things. So as we spent much of last year looking at what it means to have Jesus as our teacher, the one whom we believe is the source of the greatest truth and the greatest understanding of how to live a good, happy, fulfilling life, now we're going to learn from Him how to live that life in the midst of other people. How to see Jesus as a healer and a deliverer, the one who restores us, the one who brings us freedom, the one who sets things aright in our lives, the one who brings life where there is death. Wherever Jesus went, life sprung forth. And that's what we're going to see over and over again. As Moses came down after being with God, came into Egypt, and then he displayed 10 works of God's power that brought judgment to the Egyptians. So Jesus comes in, and Matthew records 10 works of power that brought healing, restoration, and wholeness. Now, do you think that's coincidental that Matthew would use 10? Just like 10 miracles of judgment are recorded, now there's 10 miracles of deliverance and freedom and hope. They demonstrated the life of God. We'll see in the coming weeks that Jesus spent much of his time ministering to people who were on the margins. In these miracle accounts in Matthew 8 and 9, and Jesus did a lot more than 10 miracles, okay? But Matthew lays out 10 for us for a reason that we'll be looking at in the coming weeks. But most of those people that he ministered to were people on the margins. They were ceremonially unclean. They were women. They were outsiders. One worked for the Roman imperial rulers. People who were excluded as unclean outsiders living on the opposite side of the lake, what the scripture talks about as the Sea of Galilee. These people were unaccepted, unacceptable. Jesus showed the heart of the Father by giving health and life to those who were at the margins. Many of them were untouchables. So we're going to look at what is God's heart for the untouchables, and what are the areas in your life that have been untouchable that God wants to touch. The pattern that Matthew takes us through is a series of 3 miracles and then a clarification on what it means to follow Jesus. So we see 3 miracles, then he talks a little about discipleship. 3 miracles, then he talks about discipleship. Then 4 miracles, and he talks about what it means to really follow him. So we see Matthew's trying to give us a picture of God through Jesus bringing 10 miracles of restoration and hope. We also see a pattern of how Jesus healed and delivered. And this is so cool to me, and I think if y'all will hang with me and look through this and prepare for this, this could really impact you. Is that I discovered that there are 3 ways that Jesus released these miracles. And the first one was through touch. The second one was through words. And the third one was through reaching down and lifting up. And this is the pattern we're going to see in these miracles, that Jesus did these things, and he wants to do those things in us, and he wants to enable us to do those things with others. Jesus with the power of touch. Jesus touched the untouchables. And this passage is the one I'm going to focus on next week, but a leper lived outside of the community. No one could come near them. They would have to yell, unclean, unclean. I mean, this person had not been touched in however long they'd been declared leprous and unclean. No physical contact from any human being. Matthew chapter 8. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus could have just spoken the word and healed him. True? Could he have? Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. There's something about the power of touch And how do we do that in a pandemic? How do we creatively touch people? Yeah, I saw that, Phil. Do the elbow, yeah. Here, I anoint you with oil with my elbow. How do we creatively touch people? We'll find out, because there are ways we can do it. I teased when we first came back, I had one of those big foam fingers, remember? I said, I'm going to put anointing oil on it and just go by and touch all y'all with a foam finger. But it's Jesus coming near to us in the area where we most need it. This guy needed a touch, and he received a touch. The next one is the power of words. This is how we see spoken words. Scripture tells us that God sent his word, and he healed. The psalmist tells us that. In John chapter 1, we find out that Jesus himself is the word of God. He is the spoken expression of God lived out in human form. He is the word made flesh. So when Jesus comes and he sends forth his word, he's sending forth all of his power and his authority to bring life. The Roman officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. Jesus sent a word and it brought life to that person. How many people can you bring life to if you have a rightly, fitly spoken word for them? You don't have to be right there. You've got phones. We can use the power of the Word of God and the power of words from God to bring healing to people. I realized that when the pandemic first hit, and then we had to shut down for a church, shut down church for a while, and we were doing everything online, that we were trying to scramble, and you know, our tech team had done a great job of having everything in place, but there was this lack of personal sense of community, so to speak. And so I really wasn't seeking the Lord for words, individual words that would yield life in people. And we need to do that. We need to come together and every day expect that God is going to give us words of life. And that he'll do that. Marcos, I was this morning when you came in, I saw you, I was praying for you. And I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you that you are hearing from him. There are certain things that you're like, I just don't know if I hear from God anymore. But you are hearing from the Lord. And there are certain things that he's putting in your heart and you're not so sure how you're going to go or what you're going to do with them. But God is speaking to you. You do hear from the Lord. You hear me? You do hear from the Lord. And so when you're questioning those things, I want you to remember God is able to speak to you. Sometimes, I heard this years ago, a fellow said to me, he said, I don't have any confidence at all in my ability to hear from God, but I have all the confidence in the world that God is able to communicate to me. So God is able to speak to you, and he is speaking to you. So when you think he's speaking to you, ponder it in your heart, and then follow what that prompting is. Okay? Is any of that making sense? Okay. We need to do this when we gather. We do. We can. It brings life and hope. And then the third type of miracle we're going to see is the power of helping others up. You've heard it said through the years that, you know, we need to give a hand up and not a hand out. Well, what does that look like? How do we actually help people up? In this story, in Mark chapter 1, it's also in Matthew, but Mark gives us a little bit more detail. Simon Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. Jesus went to her, and he reached down, and he lifted her up. And as he was lifting her up, she was strengthened, and she was able to do what she could not do before. Dear ones, there's a lot of people that you're going to come in contact with. There are people in your life that all they need from you is a hand to pull them up. They just need to be brought up. You don't have to carry them. You're not going to piggyback them the rest of their life. You're going to reach down and you're going to pull them up into what God has for them. And you're going to encourage them. And as you do that, then God will enable them to do what they could not do before. We're going to look at these miracles as well. So we're going to expound on these three in great detail in the coming weeks. But for now, I'd like us to consider, how does God desire to touch you? Do you need a touch from God? We usually think physically, but there's a lot more emotionally probably than physically we need touches from God. Do you need a touch from God? Do you need a word from God? Do you need to hear something from the Lord to give you direction, to give you a sense of purpose, a sense of hope? God desires to speak to you, bringing freedom and deliverance and wholeness. And what areas does God desire to reach down and pull you up so that you're able to stand before Him? Maybe it's an area you've fallen down 100 times and you're sick of going to God about it. You're like, I can't even talk to you about it anymore. I'm sick of this. I'm just sick of never being able to get victory in this area. Maybe right then and there is where you need God's hand to reach down and raise you up to enable you to stand. As God does this work in each of us, it's then incumbent upon us to, in turn, take the same work of healing, of deliverance, of life, and share it with others. Let us determine by God's empowerment and God's grace to enter into the fullness of the life of Jesus, realizing that we are the means to His mission going forward. How can you creatively bring a touch to others while social distancing? This is of great value and great need right now. Personal touch. Even if we can't touch physically, how can we come close enough to touch the deepest places of the hearts of others with our presence, with our care, with our listening? How can we bring words of life and restoration and hope, wholeness, deliverance to people who need it? God has given us His word, and we have the ability, the joy, the responsibility to share words of life with people around us. This year, it's my hope that we will all use our words, as Jesus did in these gospel stories, to bring life, to bring wholeness, to bring restoration, to bring deliverance, and to set people toward their highest calling, recognizing their incredible value and worth before Almighty God. And lastly, what I want us to ponder is, how can we reach down and help others to stand? What will that look like for us this year? Who needs a helping hand? Who needs to be restored? Who needs to be raised up? What do you need? What can you give? Do you need a touch from God? Do you need a word from God? Do you need the hand of God lifting you up? As I was preparing for this message, and working through it and praying through it, this very familiar passage of Scripture is what kind of I landed on at the end. If you need something from God, let Him know. Well, you might go, well, duh. But I think a lot of times we just go through life trying to figure it out and maybe worry or anxiety or just eking it out on our own is our default. That's why Paul told the Philippians, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So how do you keep from worrying about things? Well, you replace the worry with prayer. There's a replacement here. You replace your worry with prayer. Tell God what you need. God, I need a direction. I need a word from you this year. I need a word from you right now. You may not get it this second, but I'll tell you, if you keep asking, God will speak. God's always desiring to communicate with us. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. With prayer and thanksgiving are the opposite sides of the same coin. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now just for a moment, I'm going to ask you just to be still. If something has come to your mind as I've been talking this morning, you think, I need this from God. I need God to touch a deep place in my heart. I need some direction. I need a word from the Lord. Or I need God to pull me out of something that I've not been able to get out of. I'm just going to get quiet and still. I'm going to ask you to just talk to Him about it right now. So, Lord, we're here. We all have needs from You. And we want to be a part of meeting needs for others. So, as we paused for just a moment, Lord, hear our prayers. I want to ask you this week, you can read ahead. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. I want to ask you to ponder these things for yourself so we can receive from God so then we can do for others. Receiving from God is awesome, but being able to give out of what we receive to me is a greater joy. It really is. So, God, where do I need a touch? Where do I need, what word do I need from You? And how do I need You to lift me up? I have my oldest son is disabled, physically disabled and mildly mentally disabled. And he, a couple years ago, I got him a debit card. And it took me a while to explain to him that when I took his cash, it was on that card. So he didn't want to give up his cash. So he gave up his cash, and now he's constantly asking me, Dad, how much money is in my account? That's what he always wants to know. So he received some Christmas money, and his oma and opa sent him $100. So the dude's flush with cash. I mean, he's like losing his mind. He's got so much money now. And the other day he called me. He said, Dad, after COVID, I'm going to be rich. I said, no, Timothy, during COVID, you're rich. He laughed his head off. He thought that was the funniest thing in the world. But this morning, as I was in the message, I think a lot of us are thinking, after COVID, I'm going to be whatever it is. I'm going to be rich. Maybe not financially rich, but I'm going to have this richness again. I wonder if maybe you don't have that richness right now. Lord, show us what we have. and let us embrace all you want to do. Don't let us miss out on anything you want to do. And at the same time, Lord, don't allow us to get caught up in striving to try to convince you to give us something you've already given us. It's not about striving, it's about believing. And it's about obeying. So teach us, Lord, how to do that and how to move into that. We want all you have for us. And we want to be quick to give what you give us to others. Whether it's compassion, love, mercy, finances, time. We want to be a part of your solution for the world, for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited. I took 3 days a couple of weeks ago and went away and just did some kind of in-depth study for this series that I'm starting, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be really fun and eye-opening. So let's jump in and go together. Let's prepare to take the Lord's Supper this morning. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are welcome to receive the elements this morning. You don't have to be sinless, but you do need to go to the one who was sinless so he can restore you and remove your sin. And this again we do by faith. Almighty God, we thank you for these gifts of wafer and juice. And we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit that they would be unto us the body and the blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole, bringing us into all you have for us. Stand with me, allow me to speak a blessing over you, and then we'll be dismissed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord give you his peace. God bless you, dear folks. Walk close to Jesus this week.